still that he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
I know yesterday... over at Sayre, they were selling snow cones for cheerleaders. There's the game tonight here in Elk City. The soccer has an alumni game. I think the baseball has an alumni game. I know golf. There's a tournament coming up in October. I wonder how the schools themselves, if there's a way that they can get this information outside of just, you know, like us sitting here talking about it, how they can get this out there a little bit better so that more participation can happen and the dollars can get even higher.
Yeah, yeah. And the Elk City football, and I'm sure every football program right now, I'm sure Merritt, I'm sure Sayre and Clinton and everybody, you know, the football program kind of catches the brunt, but people don't realize that everybody's working out in that gym. The girls' track program, the girls' softball program, they're all working out with that weight room and doing things in there. And we are trying to raise money right now for the football team as well. So, hey, so the fun thing for today, it is time to get out your childhood memories, guys.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Because I just looked at this the other day because I heard it's kind of having a resurgence. So I have a gift for you today. Possibly the highest paid amateur surfer that never got paid to surf. I have his actual football rookie card. Todd Marinovich football rookie card for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So how much you guys, which I missed this one because I was kind of out of it by that age. How much do you guys think a Derek Jeter rookie card's going for right now?
Nothing.
Do you have one?
No, I do not.
Mint condition.
Mint condition Derek Jeter. That has to be, man. I might be way off.
Here's the question. Is the card game coming back?
The card game is.
It's starting to come back.
It is strong.
Because there was a point there
that it was dead.
There was like the mid to late 90s, or in the 90s, it felt like cards were as high as they ever were, and then it kind of plummeted a little bit because I own one of the holy grails of baseball cards in perfect condition. The 1989 Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, the upper deck one.
You got about $10,000.
I mean, I own one of those. But see, at one point it was like that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you couldn't sell it for $50.
Right. Right.
Well, I think it is coming back. I've seen a lot of chatter.
Derek Jeter, $25,000.
I almost said 20.
Wow.
I almost said 20 because I'm not good at it,
so,
but I almost said 20.
Kids, raid your dad's closet. Don't bend anything.
Yeah, make sure those edges.
I mean, think about all the – talking about like when we were kids. Think about all the thousands and thousands of dollars that got wasted in bicycle spokes when people would put those cards in there and then take off down the road on their bike.
Boy. Yeah.
My gosh.
There was a video.
This is exciting.
Yeah. There was a video that was on one of the social medias. You see those videos. They're outside the Angels Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
This guy had a mint condition Otani baseball card from Japan when he was playing in Japan.
Ooh.
He'd go up to fans and say, I got it. He had like $60. Said, do you want this Otani baseball card or $60? And the majority of them took the money. The value of that card is about $180, $160, and it's just going to go up the more popular he gets, right? And there were a couple fans. It was – encased and everything, they looked at it and go, oh, they realized this is not an Angels Otani,
right.
This is a Japan Otani, and they, oh, we'll take the card. And the guy's like, smart move.
So why what's the deal with the cards coming back?
All I can think is it started with the NFT stuff that some of the pro athletes got into, and then collectibles are just coming back. That's all I can think.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because essentially an NFT is a digital online baseball card. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean it's almost the same thing. It's not near as much fun to I mean, if you don't have a binder that won't even close because you got so many cards in a bunch of plastic wrap
that
or whatever.
Your mom's probably thrown away.
Yeah. Sad story about collectibles.
Don't get me started on where my baseball cards are at.
My dad, he had gotten a 1961 Yankees full team autographed ball.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was in like one of those roll top desks. And my grandmother found it years later. And my grandmother found it and thought it was just some old baseball and threw it away.
Ugh.
For those of you that don't know, 1961 was the Maris Mantle chase for Babe Ruth, in which Roger Maris did break the single season home run record. And it was the entire team, Whitey Ford, Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris.
I was just ready for you to say that you went and snatched your own man's ball and then you hit it over into the sand lot.
No, it sounded like
a similar story
that
there.
That did not happen. I didn't even know about this until later on in life.
That's retirement right there.
Yeah, that's a tough break.
That's a tough
one. Now, have you ever heard Jared's...
My baseball card?
No.
Story?
No, those
cards?
Tickets.
Oh, no. Ticket stubs. You're not going to find to games, right? They're all going digital, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to find ticket stubs anymore to games. And I think that's a shame because there are big games that you want to hold on to that memory of.
Yeah,
I got downstairs in my office, I got a stack of just random games. I don't know if they're not worth anything. But it's also kind of like, oh, this is the first time I took my wife to a baseball game. This is the first time I went to or I saw OU Nebraska or something like that. Speaking of OU Nebraska. Game of the century, okay? Help me with the year, 1971.
71.
My granddad, my mom's dad, got a bunch of tickets to go to that game and take the entire family. Took the family. He had extra tickets. And either he took them and tried to sell them or didn't sell them or left them at home. Lived up in a small town near Alva. Years later, he's gone. Grandma's gone. My aunt was going up to their house to clean it up, okay? She hired a lady to go into that house and say, clean it up. Say, if it's trash, it's trash. If it's worth donating, clothes, whatever, donate it. Because she said, I've gone through everything and I've grabbed everything I want. If there's anything that you want, you can have it, okay? So about a week goes by. She's done with the house. She later asked the lady, well, did you find anything? She goes, well, there's this desk in your dad's barn. And in a drawer, there were some old ticket stubs to OU games. So she's okay if I have them? She's like, yeah, I have them. I don't care. Turns out they're that game. Unused tickets.
Yeah, not even ticket stubs.
Unused tickets.
Yeah.
She put it online for sale. Some collector out of California bought them. She made a small fortune. She told me she came down, watched my kid play softball, and it was between games, and we're talking. It's like, how's the cleanup going? And she told me that story. I about fell to my knees.
Oh, man.
Out there at the softball complex. I was like, Jenny!
Did you guys make it to OU Nebraska 2000?
Yes.
Yes. And I have that ticket, and I framed that one.
I didn't have a ticket. I had a student ID.
Yeah,
from somebody that went to school.
I was about to say you weren't in school yet.
No, yeah. It would have been my second year of college.
I might have a brother-in-law that just got in, just walked into the game.
See,
everybody was just walking.
Oh yeah, that was insanity. I think that was the point. I think like let's pack this place.
We walked from the north side of the stadium all the way to Campus Corner that was in the south corner at that time, and our feet did not touch pavement or grass. It was beer cans all the way to Campus Court.
Okay,
it was an 11 a.m. kickoff, too.
So back then, I mean, I didn't have a cell phone. We had I'd met Roper and one of his buddies that played at Hutch, Sean Minky, at Bishop McGinnis on that Friday night because the Elks were in Oklahoma City Friday night before. And so I meet them at the game. We come back. We're literally, it's, 11:30 to midnight-ish. Nobody has a cell phone. All of a sudden, my parents call Gaylord and Rhonda at their house. Van Storm, my man Van, has gotten me a student ID at some party that night because over at Rachel's house. at the time, and calls me. And so I leave Elk City at like 12:30 to 1 a.m., and I get to Norman in the middle of the night and drive kind of through campus to get to her house. And it looked like the game was about to start. It was 3 or 4 in the morning, and people were everywhere already, like getting in line to get in the stadium.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah. We were at Rachel's house as well. That was Elk City Alumni Hotel, I believe.
After the game, I went back there for just a little bit and then had to leave. And I missed the party.
It was a good time.
I missed the party. But, man, boy, that was a fun night. That was a fun atmosphere.
OU football is back. That was the game. That was the game.
It was the game when everybody realized. All right. So, Scott, tell everybody where they can come and visit you with any financial questions that they might have.
Yeah, come down to 124 North Main, right there on the corner of 3rd and Main, and we'll sit down and we'll talk about your financial plan and what you might want to do.
Also, scott@soonerwealth.com is your email address?
That's correct, yeah.
All right.
Hey, don't you go selling that Todd Marinovich rookie card.
I'm going to put it right here where everybody can see it because, you know, this guy, he was like a legend of our childhood, and then you start – That 30 for 30 comes out, and you realized, well, no wonder he was so messed up.
His dad was a psycho.
no wonder he started doing heroin. He was tired of having to work out 48 hours in a 24-hour day.
Yeah. Hey, right. Guys, thanks for
having me. Hey, appreciate it,
Scott.
It's Financial Friday with Scott Garrison hanging out here. Ending up the week on the skinny on
schools. He's right about school budgets.
Man.
In athletic budgets. Those things like tonight are important.
And they just get tighter and tighter and tighter.
Absolutely.
Thank you to Scott Garrison on a Financial Friday with Scott. When we come back, we'll hit that list of the NFL's best offensive players. Look forward to the weekend as well. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
It's in the hole.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Thank you to Scott Garrison for stopping by on a Financial Friday with Scott. Listen, man, he can do it all. Full financial planning. He can shop the open market to bring the best value on life insurance and investments. He can manage your investments, or even another thing he can do, he can charge you hourly to build a plan for so that you can manage. You know, there's a lot of people that are really interested in, you know, just kind of monitoring what's going on with markets and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so he can even help you get yourself set up to be able to do that yourself. Give him shoot him an email at scott@soonerwealth.com. He's right there on the southeast corner of 3rd Main. What do you say, 124 Main? I meant to write that down.
Right there in the corner. You can't miss it.
Yeah. It's right on
I've the... always wanted to ask him. I always forget this. When I'm, you know, at the intersection at the stoplight and I'm looking at his place, I see a drum set in there. Does he play the drums?
Gosh.
Always forget to ask him. It's right there in the window.
I know he played the saxophone.
If he's musically inclined, I'm sure he does play the drums.
He is in the... I want to say he's in the praise band.
Okay.
At the church he attends.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Well, anyways, I see the drum set there, and I think I've always wanted to ask
him.
I always forget to ask him.
I'll tell you what else he can do. He could sing.
Yeah.
When I was in 7th grade, Miss Sizemore, Debbie, mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody knows Deb. I'm sure she's listening right now. Mm-hmm. And if the radio was off, And you know how I know 98-1 doesn't work? One of two people.
Miss Sizemore?
It's either Miss Sizemore or Sam Green. One of the two. It's like, hey, it's not working. Or Rusty. Rusty Wilson will do it too. But anyhow, so I was a seventh grader. He was a senior. And let's see. I think Bye Bye Birdie was the play. Mm. And so they needed – Miss Sizemore needed a little kid to be one of the, you know, in the play. And so I'd known her, our family had known forever. And so she asked me to do that. And so I did. And you want to talk about experience getting ahead of the game, mm-hmm. with life.
Yeah.
Be a seventh grade kid and go to high school play practices for about, I don't know, 4 months straight.
Ooh.
Every night.
That was intimidating.
You probably learned some stuff you're not supposed to, yeah. If we're being real honest. But some of that works out well for you later on in life. I mean, I a myriad of things I learned how to do, one of which was light a cigarette.
Oh, my.
I had no idea. I was asked to do that, and I was just kind of sitting there holding it. You know? And people started laughing at me, going, my God, you're sheltered. You're in seventh grade? You don't even know how to – you never see anybody light a cigarette? I'm like, oh, I'm sure I have, but I didn't pay any attention, so I got to learn how to do that.
You know, you watch TV.
I learned how to do that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was very interesting. But anyway, he was he was one of the leads in that play. Albert, if I remember right. Yeah, he could sing.
Never seen Bye Bye Birdie, but he seems multi-talented.
Oh, no doubt. Go visit him for all your financial needs. And also, as he mentioned, tonight – it's the Grudge Match, second edition, out at the Fiveplex, the Elk City High School and Junior High Softball Fundraiser. Parents versus players. What a fun idea.
I love it. I can't wait.
What a fun idea. So the parents versus the players. The more I've kind of thought about what happened last year in the first edition, the more that I remember the players being pretty sure they won, but also pretty sure that the parents tried to cheat to say they won, if that's the way that went. So, you know, the Grudge Match number two tonight, go out and watch it. It's $5 to get in, and then it goes to supporting all of the softball programs here in Elk City. I'm telling you right now, I was talking about this the other night. You know, last year, how much, you know, softball got all the way to the regional tournament over Tecumseh, lost to the eventual state champion, or in that regional with the eventual state champion, and they've got basically everybody back, and then maybe even some young ones to step in different positions as well. Softball, the fast pitch, Coach Murray, listen, they are going to be a blast to watch this year, and as we saw with softball and then football as well last year, mm-hmm. how much momentum that can create for the entire athletic department to start out in the fall with good seasons by those teams, you know, cross country as well. So, man, it's exciting. We haven't mentioned it yet today, but Big Elk football, 3 weeks away.
I'm ready. I don't know
three
about you. I'm
weeks
ready.
Away.
Like, technically, I'm ready. I got all the stuff ready to go. So you don't need to worry about that. Well, there's some little minute stuff. We might add some new graphics, maybe – spice it up a little bit. You know, we always like fresh new things. It could get stale after a while visually what you're watching on Big Elk TV, but as far as me as a fan, I am ready.
2 weeks from tonight, right here in Elk City, 5 o'clock for the middle school, 6:30 I believe. Let me look back at this text, because I asked this question just last night about scrimmages. That's what I'm talking about. Football.
Oh,
scrimmages.
Yeah,
you have where is he at? There he is. Yeah, El Reno, it's here. 5 o'clock for the middle school, 6:15 for the JV and the varsity. That'll be the lone scrimmage for Elk City football. So that's coming up 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
So we get the preview on the 19th. Season kicks off against Altus on the 26th.
Circling back to softball, you know, they officially start their season on Monday at hosting a festival over here, and there's a lot of good teams in it. Small school all the way up. 4A is the biggest school. Elk City plays at 11:30 on Monday, and they have a JV squad in it. They'll play at 11:30 Monday versus Texoma, 5:30 versus Chickasha. Tuesday, the varsity plays at 4 o'clock only versus Visalia. But they do have a JV team, like I said, plays right before that at 2:30. against Leukiba, Leukiba Sickles. Other teams in it, Weatherford, Mangum, Canute, Shattuck, Fargo.
Minco. Hammond.
Looks like Woodward might have a JV team in it.
Weatherford.
Or is that Weatherford?
You said Weatherford. And, yeah, Woodward JV, it
Woodward
looks like.
Woodward JV. So, a lot
Mangum,
of good softball.
Laverne,
yeah.
Arnett, Canute. Yeah.
A lot of good high school softball. Kind of a preview of all classes right there, almost. 4A and down.
And Chickasha. I don't think we mentioned Chickasha.
Chickasha's there.
Visai.
Shattuck always puts out a good team. Look for them. Hammond. So, good softball at the best facilities on this side of the 35.
Yeah, as you mentioned, 11:30 for the Elkettes and Texoma Lady Devils. Lady Red Devils.
And it will be on BigElkTV.com.
Just trying to make eye contact with you.
I was like, do we say it or not? I mean, we want people to go, but if you can't, we know it's 11:30 on a Monday. You got to work. But if you can't, BigElkTV.com, we'll have a video on.
That's right.
And
all year long.
All year long.
All year long for fast pitch softball, each and every game. We'll be there on BigElkTV.com. All right, so we got into this list of the greatest at every defensive position yesterday. If memory serves, edge rusher was Lawrence Taylor. It's voted on by a 50-person panel on ESPN's website, and they posted the results. Lawrence Taylor was just ahead of Reggie White. Defensive tackle Aaron Donald was just ahead of Mean Joe Green. Ray Lewis was the almost surprisingly kind of the overwhelming choice at linebacker. It's interesting. I heard the guys after us, Pat Jones, which I correctly told you he would pick Bruce Smith, the all-time leading sacker in the history of the NFL as the edge rusher. But he alluded to the fact that he believes that Ray Lewis may be the greatest defensive player of all time at any position in the NFL, which I thought was interesting.
Very.
Corner was Dion. Let's see, kicker was Vinatieri, and punter kick returner was Devin Hester. So that was the defensive positions. So let's head over to the offense. You know, this used to be such a fun debate. Right in the height of Manning versus Brady. You know, which one's better? Is it Peyton? Is it Tom? Then you kind of pull that out further to, okay, is one of these the best ever? If not, who? Is it Montana? Do you give love to Bradshaw? John Elway? Dan Marino? You know, all kinds of different guys you could throw into this list of who's the greatest quarterback of all time. And Tom Brady ruined it. He completely ruined this conversation for the foreseeable future, because he's been to the Pro Bowl 15 times. He's won 7 Super Bowls, 3-time MVP. It's amazing what he's been able to do from the age of like 37 until he's 45 right now. I mean, that's when he ended the debate, when most guys quit.
Right. And he kept going, and he won again.
Still going.
Yeah, he's still going.
So, you know, I always kind of leaned – toward Elway myself because of the physical talent that he had. He finally got over the hump there at the end with 2 Super Bowls, one of which he had a little bit more to do than the other. You know, he wasn't clear to Peyton Manning Broncos Super Bowl win, where, quite frankly, they almost won it in spite of Peyton there at the end, just because of how his physical skills had deteriorated by that point. It wasn't to that level for John Elway. But, man, that guy just physically was so talented. You know, Marino, a lot of people liked back when this was a fun conversation. What about you? Did you have a I was always a Manning over Brady guy myself, but
yeah,
it's impossible to say that now.
No, it's impossible to say. The argument is who's the second best. You know, right now it's Brady, and there's a big gap. And it's going to – well, I'll be shocked if we see anybody in our lifetime match what he has done. And, you know, I said yesterday it's hard to know – to comprehend that you're watching greatness when you're watching it, but we know we're watching greatness when we watch him. We knew we were watching greatness when Tiger Woods was at his prime and after he's won all that stuff and then when he won the Masters. So that's Tom. But as far as – so I guess the real question is who's the second best is – I mean, there's a big argument there for Manning. You mentioned Elway. Why not Troy Aikman? He has three rings. Why not? You know, he did so much. I think what kind of weighed him down was he went a little longer than he should have.
And he played on such a great team. I think Bradshaw gets some of that too because the Steelers are so great. I think even Montana, who got the second most votes in this.
Can't we say Tom Brady played on some really good teams too? He had a lot of great guys around him.
But not before Gronk. Sprinkling of Randy Moss. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think it felt like it's easier to make the argument that Emmett and Michael made Troy. It's easier to make the argument that Roger Craig, Tom Rathman, Jerry Rice made Joe Montana. You know, obviously, Stallworth and Swan and Franco kind of made Bradshaw.
Right.
And maybe, you know, this may be the most biased, racist thing, but doesn't it feel like Tom Brady made Wes Welker, made Julian Edelman?
Absolutely.
A bunch of little white dudes that are running around there, and all of a sudden they're catching 120 balls a year.
Absolutely.
But it's because of Brady more than their fit. You know what I'm saying?
Because they fit into what he does really well.
Yeah,
he knew how to find those guys. He liked those guys in the slot who could find those open spaces in zone.
Yeah. Yeah, and Troy Brown and Deion Branch, they were never household. I mean, they're not Hall of Famers by any stretch, whereas the guys that those others that we mentioned are they're already in. You know, and I think that's where until Moss, but then when you saw him, when you actually saw him with somebody like that, mm-hmm. it was an all-time greatest, almost the best team of all time.
Well, it was like when Moss was, when it was announced that he was going there, what they did after that announcement met everybody's expectation.
Which is hard to do.
Which is hard to do. You see pairings like that and you think, oh boy, now they're going to be unstoppable, and it comes up a little flat. It doesn't meet the expectations. That one did. Absolutely, it did.
They were absolutely unstoppable to the tune of 18-0 before losing in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, you know, I think that the one thing about Manning, and Lewis Riddick actually touches on it when you read like why he voted for him, is that he was the first guy in this era anyway. He ran everything.
He made athletic coordinator's job pretty easy.
Well, he called the game.
Yeah.
At the line of scrimmage. Now, he might have had what's his name? The old man with the glasses for Indianapolis, Tom Moore, was the offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt like, you're right, the easiest job in the whole league. You just kind of make a signal. Peyton calls that play and then gets to the line of scrimmage, looks around and goes, never mind. Yeah, I got this. Don't worry about it, Tom. Maybe your glasses are fogged or something. Let me do this.
Do you think a coordinator, he kept track of how many plays he actually used that he sent in? And like, well, he used 35% of my plays today.
Probably, because Peyton probably made him. That way he would call better plays.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the one thing about him that's a little bit different. And the skill of doing that, you know, he was really the pioneer of that. And then all of a sudden you see Brady and everybody else realizing, okay, this makes a lot of sense. You know, he's getting himself into the best play possible every single down.
Right.
Let's do that too. He was the first guy to ever win 5 MVPs. He won 67% of his games, and he threw for 55 touchdowns coming off that neck surgery out in Denver in the season where he was back and healthy. But it's almost blasphemy at this point if you say anybody but Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Agreed.
Now, probably the most fun debate is the next one, running back.
Yeah, that one. A lot of candidates.
Running back, I think, has the most real candidates to be the greatest of all time than any of the others, right? They went with Jim Brown. He got 23 of the 50 votes. Barry Sanders was next. Walter Payton, Emmitt Smith. Some other names we got some votes. Marshall Faulk, Eric Dickerson, LaDainian Tomlinson. You know, we didn't see Jim Brown. You hear how unbelievable he was.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about the top two is of everybody, they were kind of the two that had the shortest careers, meaning Sanders and Jim Brown. Jim Brown was 29 when he retired. Sanders was 30. And so I think part of the reason why these guys set records and were near records at such an early age, that then it's easy, especially, you know, when we think about, you know, Emmitt Smith being the all-time leading rusher, and you look and go, yeah, but what could have Barry done if he'd have played as long as Emmitt did?
That's always the fun question that Aaron will ponder, is what if they had not retired so young. But, you know, going out on top, there's nothing wrong with that as far as personally going out on top. I've done everything I can, and not can, but feels like, you know, I'm going to go out and go out as one of the greatest. So, but, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of argument there. You know, Emmitt played a long time and, you know, racked up a lot of yards. Obviously.
11 straight 1,000-yard seasons for Emmitt Smith.
That is very hard to overlook. But I always go back to, you know, what if Barry Sanders had played longer? What if he was on a good team?
What if he switched places?
Yeah.
What if Emmitt was a Lion and Barry Sanders was a Cowboy behind those offensive lines?
Wow. Yeah.
You know, a lot of people,
you talk about scary pairings.
You know, I've heard people,
that offensive line with Barry Sanders.
I've heard people say, oh, he wouldn't have been as good. Like, what?
Barry Sanders?
Yeah. Like, he's making all those crazy moves 3 yards in the backfield. Watch him make him 10 yards down the field with a full head of steam going at somebody.
Part of the big reason
they might have had to put flags on him because nobody could tackle him.
His highlights were so good because he had a mediocre offensive line that he had to create for himself to elude and get out of the – maybe that's why he retired early, because he was exhausted.
You know, I do think there's an advantage to retiring early, and that is something that you mentioned. You don't get to see those guys get old.
Yeah.
So that, you know, you remember the greatest of Sanders. The older folks remember the greatest of Jim Brown because they didn't play long enough to get old in front of you.
Yeah, it's
Emmitt clearly did. I mean, Emmitt as a Cardinal was like, it was almost sad.
That's where I was about to go.
And it was clearly,
you still respect him, like, man, sure. You don't want to see him wearing that, you know.
You don't want to see him wearing another jersey, and you don't want it to feel like he's only out there to break a record.
Right.
You know, while still productive, just not the same. A guy that I'm interested to where he'll end up fitting in on this list. And I don't know, is he done? Is he not done? It's hard to tell, but it's Adrian. Hmm. Adrian Peterson. I think he's fifth on the all-time rushing yards list in the history of the NFL at this moment. You know, he was a guy, talk about durability, outside of the one knee injury, and then, of course, the season he had to sit out for off-the-field troubles. But he's a guy that he may be the last one. The last guy that you see play all three downs. The last guy that is the focal. Maybe not. Derrick Henry's doing that right now, too. But that's the – you know, Derrick Henry's in the mold of – as Adrian was as well. Those older – the older style of the NFL, when you just had a bell cow running back – you handed him the ball almost no matter what the situation, and you just watched him succeed and be awesome. I mean, Adrian Peterson isn't necessarily at the top of any list of the greatest running backs of all time, but he's damn sure in the top 10.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And we mentioned sad. Does a part of you kind of wish Peterson would officially say, "I'm retired"?
Yes. Because
instead of donning a new jersey every season?
Yes, for two reasons. One, he's not what he was. And two, you know the only reason he's playing is because he is broke.
He needs the money. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes it sad. A name I had on the text line, 225-9698. If you guys want to get involved, jumped in. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. This is more of a what if. But Bo Jackson. What if?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if he hadn't got injured the way he did. that's a great one. But if he hadn't got injured, would he have stuck with football or baseball? Would eventually you'd say, I'm only going to do this sport?
Probably not.
You know what I mean?
I mean, his what if is really interesting because it's both. I mean, I don't know that you could possibly be a Hall of Famer in two sports. I don't know if that's possible. But I think he could have been a Hall of Famer in either. Does that make sense?
If he committed to one over the other?
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it was always going to be hard to be like a two-sport Hall of Famer, even though he got as close as anybody.
Him and probably Dion, if Dion had given up baseball.
That Dion's baseball wasn't like Bo's.
Right.
You know what I mean? He wasn't an all-star. He wasn't like this superhuman figure. And he wasn't as stature either.
And he knew that.
I mean, we missed something yesterday. You know what yesterday was? 29th anniversary of?
Was it the Nolan Ryan?
Yes. It was Nolan pummeling Robin Ventura. And you know, but you know what you forget about that? You know who was out in the middle? Just like one-arming people out of the fight.
Who's that?
Bo Jackson.
I always forget
because
that.
He was a member of the White Sox at the time.
I always forget
And he's out there breaking up the fight with one, holding guys back with arm. You know, he's just like this ridiculous specimen of a man out there, just throwing grown men around like ragdolls like as they're trying to fight each
like
other.
Like the gym teacher at on the playground during recess, breaking up fights. Grabbing them.
That's exactly
grabbing
yeah,
the kids. It was. Get off.
That's exactly what it looked like. Here's an interesting one, and this guy I think is underrated in the annals of pro football. Terrell Davis. He was kind of that short burst of time guy as well. Who you know his career wasn't as long as maybe some others, but man, when he was good, he was as good as there was. There for that period behind that Broncos offensive line. That's an interesting one. And if you watch it wasn't 30 for 30 back then. It was a different. What's that noise? Did you hear like some?
We got a bleed going.
Okay. Anyhow. But when you watch, you know, he was discovered by the Broncos on a special teams play. When he went down on a kickoff return and destroyed the returner, and everybody kind of looks around and went, wait a minute, who's that guy? He's our sixth rounder out of Georgia. And then you fast forward a couple years, and, you know, he's the best running back in the NFL. Yeah, Bo Jackson was unstoppable in Tecmo Bowl. That is 100% correct.
I don't want to – yes, yeah. It wasn't fair. I want
to – to the point where you couldn't play with him.
No, and you get mad when someone else –
him and the dude on the LT was like that for the Giants. It was hard to let people play with LT
because
it was unfair. And then I think it was Michael Carter in the middle of the San Francisco defensive line. You could just dive in there and tackle him every time.
Real quick, but I don't want to get too far off the subject, but Nolan Ryan, there's a documentary out right now. I've been trying. I don't know where to find it. I know a texter had texted us in about it. It's called Facing Nolan or something. Yeah, they said it's really great. It's just a documentary about his career or his life, I think, up to this point. So I need to find that. It's worth looking for.
He was on Rich Eisen's show this week or so, maybe even just yesterday, talking about – so if you can find that kind of a podcast of that, I'm sure it'll tell you where you can find that documentary on Nolan Ryan.
I'm gonna Google it real quick.
Okay, so from the hardest to probably the easiest choice, wide receiver, really? Is there anybody but Jerry Rice? I can try to make an argument for Randy Moss.
Yeah, I was going to say Randy Moss could be considered, but Jerry Rice he's almost in the same level as Tom Brady as far as statistically. His records he has set that we couldn't even fathom that it would be broken.
Okay, so he has over 5,000 receiving yards more than the next guy in line on the all-time list. He has the most 1,000-yard receiving seasons with 14, including 11 straight. He had 2,245 receiving yards in the playoffs, which is the most all-time, and he had 1,200 yards receiving at the age of 40. From 30 to 41, this is coming out of this article. Obviously, I don't know this off the top of my head. He had 1,394 receiving yards from the age of 30 to 41, which would rank on the 16th on the all-time list. So old Jerry Rice was the 16th best receiver of all time as far as yardage when you start putting that into perspective of what he was. I do think Moss was a freak of nature. right? I mean, that was his nickname, for goodness sake, the Freak. That tall, that lanky, you know, he started his career faster than anybody else. The most receiving touchdowns in the first 4 years, 23 in 2007, that year with the first year with Brady. But just the Jerry Rice is just, he's unparalleled. And I think as I kind of got into this, the whole goal of this entire exercise from ESPN was to use this to then find the greatest player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to have a hard time finding somebody that's more dominant at their position overall than this guy, than Jerry Rice was as a wide receiver.
I agree 100%. He's with everything you mentioned, the numbers and when he did it, at a time he did it in his career, it's kind of hard to wrap your mind around.
Tight end, they've got Gronk. You know, this is – I prefer Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate on this one.
Gronk right. had 23 and Gonzalez had 21. It could go either way. You know, and there's some guys playing now. I mean, it's just a different position. And one of the reasons why Gronk gets the nod from the people in this vote was because of his combination of being able to really be a good blocker, but then also – play the position like a wide receiver.
Well, I'd hope that's what they looked at, but that's what the position calls for.
Yeah, does it? I mean, it used to. You know what I'm saying?
But like, that's not anymore.
They're
guys,
just
not
big
fair,
wide receivers.
It's not fair to the guys that need to be considered in this, like Gonzalez,
the older guys.
And
yeah,
the older guys. I know the all positions evolve, but we still got to, you know, if we're considering greatest of all time, I mean, that should encompass something. I mean, those old guys should have some consideration and their ability to pass block, run block, you know, create diversion, stuff like that, what a tight end does, sure. I mean, that needs to be considered.
Yeah.
Gronk was good at that. Gronk is good at that.
I think if you had this list 25 years from now, the emphasis on some of that.
It'd be more on catches and yardage
I think
and touchdowns.
So too.
Sure.
I think that's just where the position's headed. Tony Gonzalez ranks third all-time in receptions, sixth in receiving yards, and eighth in receiving touchdowns. That's not amongst tight ends. That's amongst everybody. So, but either way, I prefer Gonzalez, but if it's Gronk, it's Gronk. That's fine. And then, I mean, does anybody really know about tackles and guards and centers? Does anybody really care? I know that Larry Allen is the choice for the guard, and I know that he could bench press your truck or your car or whatever you yes. wanted him to do. I've got some good ones on the text line. Back to yesterday. This is a name that that didn't even get mentioned. But for an edge rusher, Derek Thomas. Kansas City Chiefs. 7 sacks in 1 game. I mean, he was – if you're talking about just purely rushing the passer, that dude
– Gee, who texted that in?
It wasn't Sean.
Or
Dakota.
Okay.
It wasn't
then,
either
I'm
one of them.
I'm shocked then.
It was Coach Dustin.
Okay.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah,
and then Shannon Sharp. You know, the tight end, it's an interesting position because, I mean, it's like a glory position right now because of the way it's changing a little bit with flexing guys out, not making a block as much. You think about the top guys right now. I've started doing some fantasy stuff, so you know you're looking at Kelce and Mark Andrews, obviously Kyle Pitts, the young guy from Atlanta. But there's a depth at that position. Dalton Schultz for the Cowboys catches a whole bunch of balls, and on down the line, all the way. You know, there's like used to be if you didn't get one of the top two or three tight ends, you're like, oh, yeah, I don't even want to play one. That's not the case right now. It's almost like the glory time, and maybe Shannon Sharp and those guys kind of started this run in the middle to late 90s through the 2000s. Now all of a sudden, you've got these big guys that don't really want to be called a wide receiver, so they call them a tight end, but they create so much mismatch with their size and their athletic ability. It's hard for a safety to tackle them. The guy that can cover them, it's hard for a linebacker to cover them, the guy that can tackle them. It's a really, you know, there's a lot of things you can use with those guys on the field right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Tight end's always been one of my personal favorite positions to watch. When you got a good tight end, I mean, that it makes you happy as a fan for whatever team you're rooting for. Like, you know, he's a guy that they could check down to or they could design a straight pass to, and just everything he can do, whether, you know, do pass block and then suddenly he's rolling out in the flats for a 5 yard plus gain. It's always been one of my fun versatile positions to keep an eye on.
Yeah, it feels like if you have a good tight end, you have a good offense.
Well, yeah, and you know, like a running back, you're happy that you have a running back that can catch out of the backfield or who can run a pattern and catch, right? Not all running backs can do that. A lot more now can, but a tight end you knew could almost do it all, right? I mean, even take an end around versus Nebraska.
Yeah, Keith Jackson.
So it's fun because, you know, well, they practice catching every day. They practice blocking every day. They do it all. They're almost a utility knife on the field.
Yeah, and think about another guy that was right at the as this became a glory position, and now he's not. But Aaron Hernandez was another guy. I mean, he was a heck of a player that was kind of at the the beginning of it. Think about that. He was on the field with Gronk.
Yeah.
I mean, holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just – it doesn't even make sense how scary that is, just from a pure football standpoint. But I think the tight end and the way that position has been revolutionized as far as the versatility of it, that and then the running backs, you know, outside of Derrick Henry, you have to catch the football if you're going to play running back right now.
Yes.
In the NFL, yeah. You have to be able to catch it.
Yeah.
And those are the two things that I think have, you know, as much as you want, everyone wants to talk about, oh, they throw it all the time, but being more versatile and being more multiple against defenses, it's made the offensive boom just explode even more.
Right.
Being able to use those two positions more than anything. So everybody else is kind of the same.
Yeah. By the way, Facing Nolan, it's on Prime Video, Apple TV, a couple other streaming services. I'm sure you can find it.
Nolan Ryan. Stud. We'll be back.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. We're wrapping it up for the week right here on the Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It's a Financial Friday. Scott Garrison was in here earlier, Garrison Financial. He's got it all. A full financial planning. Shop the open market for your best value on life insurance and investments. Can manage your investments, or he can charge you hourly to build a plan that you can manage. And he does. He loves to work with the clients, the accountants, to make sure and streamline all the tax ramifications and those returns. Go see him, southeast corner of 3rd and Main here in Elk City, or shoot him an email, scott@soonerwealth.com. What are you doing this weekend?
Well, me and the wife are going to go to the city.
Are you really?
Yeah, we're going to go.
Like an overnight stay?
Yeah, it's kind of like a last weekend before school.
Holy cow, school starts next week.
Yeah.
We better get off.
And so it's just me and the wife are going. We're going to go stay at a hotel. We're going to do some shopping. We already got reservations for Topgolf. So we'll go hit up Topgolf for lunch for a couple hours. Oh. I mean, and then the hotel we got has a pool, so by the time we could check in, go sit. It's going to be hot, so maybe too hot to sit outside, but go check out the pool.
Jump in the pool.
Just go, yeah, just
cools you off.
Just kind of a quick weekend getaway.
What about
and
dinner?
Then,
you got any spots picked out?
We do. It's at the hotel. It's a really nice state. I don't feel like I'm bragging, but at the Omni, the new one, they have a steakhouse in there, so we're going to give that a shot.
Is that Bob's?
Yes. Yeah.
Bob's Steak and Chop House?
Yeah.
I've always heard that that's good in Dallas.
Oh, good.
That was always a place that people would go to OU Texas weekend, maybe on a Friday night.
Good. Menu looks good. But you can put anything on a menu, just can you make it? Can you make it good?
That's a good point.
So we'll, but that's it, you know, and it's tax-free weekend. So we're going to do some shopping for the kids, maybe, you know, for clothes and stuff. Mentioned shoes. My kid already needs new cleats.
I'm going to try to go do some of that downtown Elk City, you know, local.
Well, thank you, Aaron. In fact, that the no-tax weekend actually started at midnight, so it is in effect
yes.
right now. So
I think one of the local establishments actually started yesterday.
Oh, very good. Which one?
Where you can get you shoes say? And T-shirts.
Oh, well, I wonder where that could be.
Right on the corner of
Broadway.
Broadway, yeah.
Yeah, in Maine.
Broadway in Maine. Maybe the northwest
Might
corner.
Have to go check it out.
Or southwest corner. Whatever. Where am I? I'm all turned around.
Now, do records apply?
Yes. I did see that. Both
really?
Stores. Yes, I did see
oh.
that.
Oh.
I did see. I think the.
Now, I got two reasons.
Seemed
to
like
go.
Maybe from just. This isn't just here, but everywhere. The shoes had to be under $100, maybe?
Yes. It has to be 100. I was reading. Think about doing like a story. You know, hey, no tax. But reading at the stipulations to it.
Right.
And it's not too restrictive, but you're right. It has to be.
That's the only thing that I saw. Yeah. I happened to notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get some. We got to get some different gear for the school year.
I'm telling you
And
what,
I know he's got it.
Speaking of gear, I mean, I think it's about time we need some new Big Elk TV gear. I've been wearing the same hat for about 4 years.
Well.
I'm just making that, I'm just putting that on the record here.
I would prefer not to have a white shirt.
Yeah.
Just simply because it's embarrassing to go into
when you dribble
press some, boxes when I've got salsa on it.
After you dribble
and
the salsa.
It happens every time.
I know.
We try to avoid
my
those
My wife hates
joints.
It when I get white anything. She said, you're just going to get it dirty. Why did you get white?
Yeah.
You just get it dirty every time.
But, you know, here's the thing. There's also, it's hard to get a suitable shade of brown.
It is hard.
Which means we ought to just not
go with
school
shade,
colors.
Yeah, there's more than one shade of brown. I mean,
I've got like four shades
yeah.
from Big Oak TV shirts, actually.
Yeah.
Kind of a brown. Kind of a dough brown,
like a
kind
light,
of a
lighter brown,
really light brown,
like a beige brown. Yeah, you want the brown to be uniform and match. Anyways, so yeah. What about you? Any big plans?
Yeah. Let's see. There's a cookout or a swim party
hey.
For the summer's baseball team.
Well, that'll be fun.
It'll be a good time. Maybe kind of a last hurrah, as it were.
Celebrate a good season.
Yes, and then got to go to a funeral in the morning, and then we will be kind of doing the same thing you're doing, locally, or maybe even make a trip to the city. The one reason I would like to make a trip to the city is because, no kidding, to look for those magazines, to look for
yeah.
Phil Steele, and to look for the Vibe High School Preview.
Well, I'll keep
so
my
we
eyes
start.
Open too.
I mean, I know I'm sure we're going to run up there, but we may make some stops downtown first, and then. Run up to the city.
Well,
after
I'll tell
that.
You what. I'll text you if I find it. You text me just before I buy it. I'll go. Have you got this yet?
Yeah,
you know,
it'll probably be mid-afternoon before we would get
all
there.
All right,
to Oklahoma City. But that's what the plan is.
Awesome.
At some point, I'm going to have to mow my yard. It rained that
you know
a
what?
Couple
yeah.
of different times. Little sprinkles throughout the week, and now I've got some little green patches growing, and it looks ridiculous.
I've noticed that too on mine.
Maybe just kind of take the heads off of
yeah.
the grass, and
it's really around the edge on sidewalk and stuff for me.
Exactly
I
right.
Need to take care of that. So,
all right.
Yeah, that's about it. Then, yeah, we're going to blink. We're sending our kids off to school. We're
packing
up this box over here to my right, your left.
Question on the text line, what's the official shade of brown in your mind for Elk City Athletics?
I don't know.
I think it's the darker brown.
I think it is darker based on the
– I mean, when you look at all the uniforms,
well,
it's
look at
darker
the uniforms.
Brown.
They're all are dark brown, almost to the point when they get wet, they're almost black.
Yeah, the football jerseys kind of look that way
yeah.
when you get sweaty, especially early season.
Yeah. Yeah, the dark brown. Yeah.
Yeah, the darker brown. Like, what would you think? I mean, I think of, like, darker than brown. Like, what I think of brown.
Like mocha?
Like, darker than that.
All right, mocha brown.
Mocha brown. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow!